You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, would you please, with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 6, familiar chapter in the Bible, Ephesians chapter number 6. Finding your place there in just a moment. Again, it's a joy to be here for my wife and myself. And because of the time difference, 3 hours, your Wednesday night service comes on at 12 o'clock our time, midnight. And I've been usually in bed about 4 or 5 hours. So we do enjoy, however, watching it archived and enjoy that. And I'm blessed to be one of two people with black shoes on tonight on the platform. Notice I didn't pack them this time. I said, well, I'm going to feel right out of place here for sure. But thank you again for the opportunity of being here, preacher. Let's stand together in reverence to God's word, would you please, as we look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to stop right there and just kind of comment for a minute, because it will just be for a moment. You know, we sing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Victory. God never planned for us to live in defeat. Amen. He plans for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see that. That's God's plan. And then he says, put on the, and what is the next word, church? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if we're all on the same page there, God has given us a provision that in our Christian life, we can be victorious, we can be strong in the Lord, not weak, not feeble, not defeated, but that we can be strong. And he's provided the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the truth is, we are wrestling. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against other things that he's going to mention here. And so there's a wrestling match. There's a spiritual battle that is going on. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the, what's the next word, church? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. I guess we're on the same page that we're still living in an evil day. This is the day we're living in, a day of corruption, a day of chaos, a day of change. You know, and just because we won the election a few days ago, don't think that the enemy has gone to sleep. I heard somebody say to me just a few days ago before the election, if Harris gets the election, then we know that the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be immediate. And if Trump gets in, it's going to be delayed at about 2 months. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. But be aware that we're still living in an evil day. All right? So the Bible says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to preach to you a message tonight entitled just simply, The Armor of God, the whole armor of God. Would you remain standing for prayer, and then we'll get right into the Bible study. Let's ask for God's blessing. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the privilege of opening the Bible. Every time the Bible's open, whether it's in our devotion time or family altar or just right here in church, whatever Sunday school class, whatever night it is, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, you are speaking to us. Yeah. And Lord, I pray that we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As you've said that so many times, and I pray every day, Lord, give me ears to hear what you are saying. I pray that each of us will listen. I know you're going to be speaking right now. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit and give us ears, Lord, not only ears to hear, but a heart and feet that are tender and obedient, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I love the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians to me is one of the outstanding books of the New Testament. They're all inspired, of course, but it's just to me a favorite place. I like Ephesians tells us how rich we are. It begins in chapter 1, tells us how blessed we are with spiritual things in heavenly places. Amen. Chapter 2, that familiar verse, for you're saved by faith and grace, not by works of righteousness which we've done. We thank the Lord for the message of grace. Yeah. Chapter 3, one of the two recorded prayers of the Apostle Paul, recorded there in chapter 3. Chapter 4 deals with walking with God and those important aspects of the Christian life. Chapter 5, dealing with being filled with the Holy Spirit there, redeeming the time, such those kinds of things. Chapter 6 deals with children obeying the parents in the Lord. Oh, by the way, chapter 5 deals with marriage, the body of Christ, those pictures there. Chapter 6 deals with children obeying their parents in the Lord, relationships with employers, employees. And then he comes to verse number 10 and says, finally. So he finishes up the entirety of the book of Ephesians with a metaphor of a Roman soldier and how he's decked out in all of the armor that would protect him, and relays that to the Christian life. We're all in a warfare. Every one of us tonight are in a warfare. And we have allusions to that throughout the scriptures. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're to war a good warfare, fight a good fight. The Bible says that we're to endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We have three common enemies, the Bible says. Fact is, take your Bible, keep your finger there in Ephesians 6, but go back a couple chapters to Ephesians chapter 2, and it identifies our enemies there. You see that in verse number 2, wherein in time past, he's speaking prior to their conversion, salvation, you walked according to the course of this world. So there's enemy number one, the world. Somebody's here tonight saying, well, what is the world? It's not creation. It's a wonderful creation that God has given to us. It's talking about the world system. Yep. I boil it down this way for us. Anything that God is for, this world is against. Anything that the world is against, God is for. That's the world that we live in. And it's a war that we all face. We find the Church of Jesus Christ involved in that war. And sadly, some people of God are giving in and caving in to that enemy. It's not our friend. This world is not a friend of grace. This world is our enemy. And the Bible says, he that loves the world, the love of God's not in him. So bear that in mind. Enemy number two is in the same verse. He said, you walked according to the course of this world. And then he gets on to the prince of the power of the air. Guess who that is? Yeah. That's Satan. He's our enemy. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I would say to us on the platform, hey, Satan is our enemy, and he's after us just as much as he's after every single one of you. And he's not going to be satisfied until he tries to get his way. So the world is our enemy. The devil's our enemy. And then if you go to verse number 3, among whom also we had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Christian, that will be with us and our enemy until the day we die, or until we're raptured out of here. Those are three enemies. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the Bible identifies those three enemies and said, hey, wait a minute, you are in a war. There's a serious warfare going on right now, and you need protection. And God says, my will for you is to be strong in the Lord, standing in the power of his might, standing and not caving in, but being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then keep looking up here, if you would please, because I know we're in an auditorium and it's not conducive to what I'd like to do tonight. But then he goes into several verses, beginning there in verse number 14, And he begins to give you the entire armor of God. Now, many of us, and I would be included in that, in junior church, you probably remember learning and memorizing the armor of God. But preacher, I'm amazed at how many have memorized that and have not a recollection of being able, because there are seven pieces of the armor that are given. Don't look there now. Don't look. There are seven pieces of the armor. Here's what I'd love to do. I can't do it. But I'd love to have those of you here tonight in North Valley that could stand up and by memory give me the seven pieces of that armor. Now, wait a minute. We just read the Bible says there's a warfare going on. We're facing the world. We're facing the flesh. We're facing the devil. And I am to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And don't peek, Brother Martinez. I am to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm to take the whole armor of God, not just five pieces. I think I could get five out of seven. Well, good for you. But here we're looking at the whole armor of God and be able to take it. And how often do you think we should be doing that on Sunday morning? Is that when the warfare goes on? No. Every single day, I'm convinced, every single day. And since I've come and wrapped my mind around this truth, every single day I try to apply those seven pieces to my life. And I want to try to help you tonight to leave this building tonight and all of us be able to at least be challenged along that line, but more than so, show you how important those seven pieces of the armor is. Because I don't think God just arbitrarily threw out some things and said, well, here, just think about this and maybe give it some thought. I think it's something that's real. It's as real as warfare. It's as real as spiritual warfare. And God says, here is something will protect you. Every piece that you need to stand against the wiles of the devil, the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, and the course of the world, here's what you need, the whole armor of God. I'm going to help you tonight, if I can, because we have, about 15 minutes to do this. And so I'll do it. I'm going to struggle with you, but keep with me. And I'm going to just take them with your permission, just a little bit out of chronology, and do a little anatomy here with you. And I'm going to start with the head and move down that way. And this is how we'll help you to remember. Let's start with tonight with, first of all, verse number 17. Let's start with verse number 17. We have the helmet of, and what is the response? The helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet of salvation is sometimes said, well, you know, I've got that one nailed down. There was a time and place when I repented of my sin and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that I was a sinner, that Christ died on the cross for my sins, paid the penalty of my sins, and he was buried and he rose again, the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And thank God there was a time and place, biblically, I believe tonight, with all assurance that I'm saved, born again, and on my way to heaven one of these days forevermore. Thank the Lord for salvation, the helmet of salvation. Maybe some of you tonight were like me when I was about 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, somewhere in there. And I made a decision to receive Christ at 4 and a half years of age. And I heard all the sermons of my dad and evangelists and different ones saying, if you have Jesus just in your head, but you don't have him in your heart, the rapture is going to occur. You're going to be left behind. Or you think you're going to heaven. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And doubting your salvation, no assurance of salvation. Thank God tonight, 1 John 5 says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. It's something certain. So if you're here tonight and not sure about salvation, you've never made the most important decision of your life of where you're going to spend eternity and how you're going to deal with your sins, thank God that helmet of salvation is critically important. Nothing is more important than that, nor having your assurance of salvation. But for our thinking tonight, I believe the helmet of salvation is something other in the context than your helmet of salvation of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you ride in Florida, they don't have a helmet law for motorcyclists, but one of the cheapest pieces of insurance that you can buy riding bikes or motorcycles is a helmet. Playing football, a helmet is all there. What is the helmet for? It's to protect your toboggan up here, your brain, the thing that controls all of your thinking. So I suggest tonight and submit for your thinking tonight that the helmet of salvation has to do not necessarily with salvation, though that can be certainly an application. I believe the sense of a soldier, a Roman soldier, the metaphor that was here was to protect his brain, was to protect that area of the head, so important to control of the entire body. I believe it has to do with your mind, your thinking. The Bible says in the Old Testament, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your mind is critically important as a Christian, not alone as a non-Christian. What you think about governs their whole way of life. The Bible has much to say of how we think. He says in 1 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. In Philippians, the Bible says that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to think the thoughts of the Lord. In fact, is over in Philippians, it reminds us what to think about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure. Think on these things. Our mind, what we think about. It's amazing the warfare that is going on right now in the Christian churches as to what we're seeing on the internet. Pornography. I think I heard from this pulpit on live stream, I think you mentioned that women are having even, did you say that? I did hear that, right. I thought maybe I was drinking my coffee at that time, but that's women are having a more difficult time and a struggle in pornography than men currently. And the rage of that kind of thing is invading the church. And we're in a warfare. Be careful what you're thinking. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, how I think is governing how victorious and how powerful and strong in the Lord that I am going to be and you are going to be. We need to, would you think it would be appropriate every single day to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, today, let my mind, let my thoughts, what I see, what I hear, what I speak, what's going on in my thought processes, let it be honoring and glorifying to my Lord Jesus Christ, the helmet of salvation. Let me quickly move on to verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Stay with me. We have the helmet of salvation. Now we're moving to verse 14. The breastplate of what? Righteousness. We have positional righteousness. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was brought into the righteousness of Christ, for he hath made him to be sin, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we all have the positional righteousness of God in that standing in salvation. That's a $1.25 word, righteousness, but it simply means right, doing right, being right in Christ. Now let me share this with you, Christian. To have positional righteousness without practical righteousness leads to a Christian casualty. It leads to a Christian that is wounded. So we're talking about doing right. I went to school, high school down the road here just a little bit, and we were a public school, secular school, but the senior class took upon itself, or it was assigned to us at least, a motto for a public school, which went something like this: you know what's right, do it. You know what's right, do it. Now I'm saying, as far as Christians are concerned tonight, we should know what is right, we should do it. Is your heart right with God tonight? What's out of sorts? Is your heart in righteousness? So we have the helmet of salvation of what we think, we have the breastplate of righteousness to lead us in practical righteousness along and akin to the positional righteousness that we have in Christ at salvation. Then verse 14 says, and the loins of truth. Amen. Loins of truth, binding up the loose garments that were hindering a soldier from running and doing the things that he needed to do. He needed to bind those loins up, but they're the loins of what? Truth. And that word goes a couple ways in the New Testament, and faithfulness sometimes, but this word is the word aletheia, which simply means tell the truth, telling the truth. You know, Patch the Pirate saying, tell the truth, never tell a lie. It's talking about being truthful. It's talking about being honest in all manner of our life. In all manner of our life, we're to be honest and truthful. There are three applications to that. One is we ought to be honest with God. Why do we deceive ourselves sometimes in thinking that God doesn't hear, God doesn't know, and that we sometimes can lie and get away? We need to be honest with God. Secondly, we need to be honest with others, just telling the truth. They're not white lies, green lies, black lies. There's just honesty or dishonesty. Tell the truth. And then there's a third application, not only to be honest with God, not only to be honest with others, but to be honest with ourselves. That's why the Bible says, be not deceived. That's lying to ourselves. And it's amazing, most people that we would ask to come to church that would reject our invitation, the reason that they would not come is because they would say what? There are so many hypocrites in the church. What do they say? People that say they're one thing, but they're living a life another way. It's amazing, but in the church of Jesus Christ, there are Christians everywhere, no doubt. There are probably some here tonight that people think you're one thing, but you're really something else at home. They think that they're indicating you have a facade, you have this front, but it's not real. Be real, have integrity. And the Bible says you need to be honest. So we have the helmet of salvation, which is our thought life. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which is doing right, being right. And then we have the loins of truth, which is telling the truth. Now I want you to take thought of the next part of the anatomy goes down to the knees. And that is probably where we lose some because some don't include that. But I think it's not only one of the offensive weapons, it is something that God includes in our life. And it talks about prayer, the knees of prayer. Now, obviously, prayer does not need to be on your knees. It's the position of your heart. But it's a good indication. It'll not hurt any of us to be on our knees before God in humility, because prayer is this. Prayer says, I need you, God. I understand tonight there are many other aspects of prayer, but certainly prayer is an indication and reflection of my heart that I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Was it John Rice that said, all failures are prayer failures? So prayer is needing God. Talks about supplications and being able to have a prayer life with God. How's your prayer life? Too busy to pray? Then you're too busy. I'm not talking about Polly want a cracker kind of prayers that you make it at mealtime. God bless us for no more. Amen. That kind of thing. I'm talking about getting alone with God and communicating with your Lord. How's your prayer life? Do you get alone with God and be able to pour out your heart to the Lord in all those areas? And to me, God's word is God speaking to me. Communication is two-way. Prayer is me talking to God. You can't really pray effectively unless you've heard God, but he wants to hear from you. Call unto me. What is God saying in Jeremiah 33:3? Talk to me. God Almighty, think of that, is telling us, talk to me, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. May God help us to be people of prayer. Failures and casualties in the Christian life often lead to this missing ingredient of armor, and that is the loins, the knees of prayer. Then let's go to verse number, 17? Or is it 15? 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if pastor tells you one thing, he's right and I'm wrong. But the gospel, obviously the Bible says in Romans 10, 15, somewhere in there, it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach and bring good tidings of good things. And that is certainly applicable. God blesses soul winning. We ought to be soul winning. But I think the word gospel simply means what? Good news. And it says, here it's talking about the feet of the gospel of the preparation of peace. That word peace is an important word in the Bible. It's the Greek word eirene, which means everything can be in chaos, but you have a deep, settled rest in the midst of it all. What a great thought in this 21st century, in 2024. A peace. You don't have to worry about the inflation rate. You don't have to worry about the changing guard of politics. You don't have to worry about the wars that are going on and the rumors of war. In all of that, we can have peace. Jesus said these words in the Gospel of John. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And yet, may I suggest that even in Christian circles, who are defeated as soldiers of Jesus Christ because of fears, because of worry, because of anxiety, popping pills to get to bed and sleep at night, that can mark many, many of a Christian. And yet the Bible says, wait a minute, I've given you armor even for that. I've given you the feet of peace that passes all understanding. Thank God in salvation we have peace with God. But thank God as Christians, we have the peace of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God tonight, Christian, for the peace of God that he wants to give to every single one of us as part of the whole armor. So we have the helmet of, stay with me, helmet of, and we have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the loins of truth. We have the knees of prayer. And we have the feet of peace. The feet of peace. Now that only leaves us two more to go. And we have a couple minutes, don't we? All right. We have, depending on whether you're right-handed or left-handed, verse number 17 says, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that is the word of God that we need. That is the offensive weapon that is to be most feared of every single one of us. Jesus, Matthew 4:4. It is written. Learn to use the word of God, not just to be able to say, I read my Bible today, keep the devil away. Learn to read the Bible, to arm yourself, to be able to do spiritual warfare and say, it is written. Use the word of God, memorize the word of God, meditate upon the word of God, master the word of God, study to show yourself approved unto God. Why is it so many of us fear JWs and Mormons coming to our door? Simply because they've studied more than we do and we don't know the truth. May we be able to have the word of God so that we're not defeated. We need God's word. And lastly, it says the most important one, we haven't even given it to you yet. That's verse number 16, because it says, above all, that's a priority, is it not? He's given you a whole list of the whole armor, seven pieces, seven now coming up. And above all, take the shield of faith, whereby you might be able to quench all, not to some, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. No one has the excuse to be like Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it. Not if you have the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? What is faith? Well, it's pretty important because Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't know about you tonight, but I want God to be pleased. I don't want Jesus being able to look down to heaven at me and say, where is your faith? That's what Jesus said to some of his disciples. Where is your faith? We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is something you can't see, but you trust God. Let me tell you something. After being saved for about 75 years, I can tell you, whatever God has said, he is faithful. But God is faithful. He'll never let you down. You can trust God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. You've got God's word on it. Amen. God is faithful. And to be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. So what do you say tonight? It is pretty valuable as a Christian soldier to be victorious and not defeated. To be able to stand and keep the faith and fight a good fight, is it pretty important every single day to say, Lord, today I want to think your mind. Today I want to do right. Today I want to be truthful and honest and have integrity with people. Today, Lord, I need you every hour, every minute I need you. Lord, I need the peace of God in an upheaval world that is full of chaos. I need the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Lord, I want to be able to wield your word today as I spend time in it. Give me that wisdom and knowledge and understanding to wield the sword of God's word the way I should. And Lord, above all, help me just to trust you. No matter what the economy is, no matter what the physical needs are, no matter what the financial things are going, no matter the circumstances in my life or cops, doesn't matter. Lord, help me keep trusting in you. Now let me tell you, in closing, if you have your Bibles open, turn over to Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. Romans 13, 14. Great verse. Because you say, what am I doing when I put on this metaphor of all these seven things? You're putting on Jesus Christ. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says there. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. When I put on the helmet, watch this. When I put on the helmet of salvation, Jesus Christ is my salvation. When I put on righteousness, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. When I put on truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When I put on prayer, friend, he is my high priest, and he makes intercession for me at the right hand of the Father. I'm putting on Jesus. When I put on the Word of God and wield the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, he is the living word. He is the Logos. And when I hold up my faith, he is the source of my faith and the focus of all faith. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you that as soldiers tonight of Jesus Christ, thank you, oh Jesus, for all that you've given us, complete to be victorious in Christ. Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord. Help us be in the power of your might. And Lord, we pray that if we're here as a casualty tonight, we pray, Lord, if we've been wounded in some way, let us examine our armor tonight, the piece that is missing or pieces that may be missing. And by the grace of God, may we just affirm ourselves to be re-uniformed with the whole armor of God. Help us to leave tonight at least impressed for the fact of how important it is every single day to have the armor of God. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.